Jen, let's start with talking about last night and the greatest hitter in the game of baseball, Rick Porcello.
Yeah, I know, right? It seems like he's got a penchant for some of these big hits, that one he had in Washington, you know, that kind of spurred this crazy win streak that they're on right now, you know, or series winning streak anyway, kind of kicked things off back then. And last night, obviously, was another big hit. So, yeah, I think he likes to kind of rise to the occasion, you know, when he has a chance to actually get in there and hit. And so you can tell that he really enjoys it. And obviously his teammates enjoy it. So, yeah, helping himself out is probably a good thing for him on the mound, too.
Were people cringing when he made that head first slide into second?
Yeah, Cora said he definitely was. But, you know, in talking to Porcello afterwards, he was kind of saying that he doesn't really kind of go in with the mindset of worrying about getting injured, because he was basically saying that's when you do get injured, is when you're trying too hard, you know, or thinking too much about it, about something that you don't do too often. But he said he really kind of enjoys, you know, going out there and hitting, which you can obviously tell just by the way, you know, he approaches things out there.
I thought last night was such a microcosm of this season. You got a great performance from Porcello, but it took big hits by Brock Holt and Sandy Leon to win the game. And to me, that's what's made this such a special season, that all these guys have found a way to contribute at times.
Yeah, you know, it's not just the big bats that are the ones that are producing day in and day out. Sometimes those guys are quiet and you have other guys that are stepping up, and that was the case last night. So I think, yeah, that's one of the keys that's kind of driven this team this year is that it's very rare when, you know, they're not, when everybody's kind of on a downturn. It seems like they're always picking each other up. When one guy's down, another guy's up. So, yeah, they've found a way to kind of piece these wins together, and that's pretty much how it's happened all season, is just one guy stepping up after another.
Well, they get back at it against the Phillies again tonight. Nathan Eovaldi gets the start, and you tweeted just a little while ago, no Mookie Betts in the lineup, but this is something that Alex Cora has been planning all along.
Yeah, he in order to keep Martinez in the lineup, obviously, in the NL Park, he has to play the outfield, and he wanted him to play both games here, and because of that, he's planning to give Jackie Bradley the day off yesterday, gave Mookie the day off today, and kind of fit Martinez into the lineup in the outfield. So that's kind of, that was already planned. So no need to stress out about an off day for Mookie. Probably needs one anyway.
You did a chat earlier today with subscribers to The Athletic, and one of the questions that came up was one I was going to ask, and that's about the bullpen and whether they can find or whether they'll actively seek any help down the stretch there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the waiver wire, you know, is kind of an active, I guess, thing at the moment. You know, teams obviously have to put their players on waivers in order to make any trades at this point in the season, since the non-waiver deadline ended on the 31st, July 31st. So it's kind of hard to predict, you know, who's going to be put on waivers and who's out there, and kind of that whole aspect of things. But, you know, if something comes along, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they figure something out for another arm. But at the same time, you know, Dombrowski said, you know, when I think it was right after the deadline, that 4 p.m. deadline on the 31st, that, you know, the guys that were available to them weren't, you know, they didn't feel that they were tremendous upgrades to the guys that they already had. And the one or two guys that they, you know, would have felt that, you know, could have been good upgrades for the bullpen, the teams that had them wanted way too much in return in terms of prospects. And, you know, maybe even a guy like Devers or something like that. He wouldn't go into detail, but, you know, knowing when a guy like Dombrowski often, you know, pulls the trigger on big trades, says that, you know, a team is asking for too much, you know, that it's, you know, that it was a big ask. You know, I think, you know, with that in mind, they're comfortable kind of with what they have, but obviously you can never have enough at this time of the year, and obviously heading into October. So if something does sort of fall into place, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. I just don't necessarily know who that is at this point, considering, you know, we don't really know exactly who's been put on waivers, who hasn't.
You wrote about Craig Kimbrell and some of his recent struggles, and you said Dana Lavangi told you that he's been battling some nagging injuries.
Yeah, it sounded like he was you know, Dana noticed, I guess, a couple mechanical things that Kimbrel can fix. You know, I think he said it was in the Yankee series in early August. So it's been a couple weeks now that they've noticed this, that they are trying to figure out with him. But also said, yeah, just some nagging injuries that you know, nothing major, nothing with the arm. But, you know, Kimbrel obviously had a different beginning to the season, obviously missing a lot of spring training because he was with his daughter who was having the heart surgery. So, you know, I kind of wonder if, you know, sort of getting ready for the season and maybe altering some of his approach maybe made him get into bad habits later in the season, or maybe these are just, you know, maybe it's a blister type thing. You know, LeMangi didn't really want to get into any details, obviously. But it sounds like something, you know, along those lines. And they have, you know, a month and a half to kind of figure these things out. So I guess, you know, that's the good thing, and that they're kind of working on it. But he said it's just an ongoing process at this point.
Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic joining us from Philadelphia. Game two of the series tonight. It's only mid-August, but as we roll into September, do you see them managing differently, particularly if they hold on to this big lead? Or are they likely to think less about setting a record for wins and more about having guys rested and refreshed for the postseason?
Yeah, I definitely think it. You know, I mean, I'm sure that they would like to, you know, if a record, you know, presents itself, that would be a nice thing for them to kind of have their names in the record book, you know, along with a new win total. But at the same time, I think that they're definitely prioritizing rest for the postseason because, you know, past few years they've made it and lost in the first round. So I think, you know, there's that extra added emphasis of, you know, you don't want to just make it this year. You know, you have a special team and want to make it far. So obviously rest is an important part of that. So while the fans might not like, you know, that Cora's got a pretty regimented schedule in terms of resting guys, it's serving a purpose, I think, you know, to kind of keep these guys fresher, you know, longer down the stretch.
And will that apply to Chris Sale? Obviously, the other day, first start back from the DL, they didn't plan to throw him a very much more than 80, 85 pitches. Next time out, do they give him a little bit longer leash?
Yeah, when we talked to Corey yesterday, he said that, you know, Sale probably be back up to, you know, 95 next time out. But a few weeks ago, I guess, you know, when I think it was probably while Sale was still on the DL, he did talk about just there's a lot of off days coming up. And so they'll take advantage of those in terms of the rotation and giving guys extra days. So instead of, you know, pitching on 5 days rest, every fifth day, they'll be pitching maybe on a sixth day and kind of instead of, you know, keeping the guys exactly in line. So that'll be, you know, I think helpful for them too and helpful for Sale, you know, as October approaches.
One of the guys who's been such a revelation in this bullpen is Ryan Brazier, who appeared to have come out of nowhere. What's going on with this guy? Why has he been so successful lately?
Yeah, you know, he's figured a lot of things out. He's kind of had a really interesting story, having pitched in Japan and, you know, getting released and released in spring training. And the Red Sox picked him up and put him on a minor league deal at the end of or in the beginning of spring training, I guess it was. And he got some, some interesting spots as a sort of a closer while Kimbrel was away from the team in spring training and sort of opened Cora's eyes. So he worked his way up, you know, through the minors for the first half of the season, and you know that he, you know, did so well that he found an opportunity in July with the team, and he's obviously stuck and done really well. He's only given up 2 runs in 16 innings, and so Cora been increasingly giving him higher leverage spots, and we'll kind of see if he continues to sustain it, but he hasn't really shown any reason why he can't. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to use him, and you know, we're assuming that he's going to be a big piece of the bullpen in the postseason too, and see how he can kind of handle that pressure too.
Jen McCaffrey writes about the Red Sox for The Athletic. Jen, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.